Good morning and welcome to the morning news for today, Friday, October 23rd, 2015. I'm your presenter, Richie Farrell, and here are the headlines. Former West Indies pace bowler Dominican-born Adam Sanford will be honored in New York next week. Desperate father Hunt John pleads for financial assistance for his son, who is very ill with a brain tumor. St. Kitts says it doesn't want any help from cruise lines to build its new pier. And Hurricane Patricia, Mexico awaits Category 5 storm. The news is brought to you through the kind compliments of Fast Cash and Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. The details and more are coming up.
Thomas Enterprise in Portsmouth, your suppliers of building materials and hardware products. Over 20 years experience in the business. Rudolph Thomas has lumber and plywood, Portland and tile cement, steel rods, galvanized and fence pipe. And Rudolph Thomas can meet all your wire needs. Galvanized roofing sheets, doors, windows, toilet sets, face basins and bidets. PVC piping, fittings and lattice. Check out Rudolph Thomas for ceramic and vinyl floor and wall tiles, nails, nuts and bolts, paint and painting supplies. And check out their line of electrical and hand tools. And Rudolph Thomas is your one-stop shop for hard-to-find items like fiberglass mat and fiberglass resin and welding rods. Go now to Rudolph Thomas on 1240 Bay Street in Portsmouth.
Welcome back. Former West Indies pace bowler Dominican-born Adam Sanford will be honored in New York on Saturday, October 31st, 2015, by the Atlantis Cricket Club, which will also bestow honorary lifetime membership to the former West Indies Test cricketer. It is an honor the New York-based club has bestowed upon a dozen other former Test greats, including Clive Lloyd, Lance Gibbs, Andy Roberts, Alvin Kalikaran, Basil Butcher, Joe Solomon, Cutley Ambrose, Lawrence Rowe, Roger Harper, Gus Logie, Clayton Lambert, and the only female former West Indies Test cricketer among the lot, Stephanie Power. Adam Sanford, who turned 40 this summer, shares the same birthday, July 12th, with his former teammate and fellow West Indian, Neil McGarrell. Born in Dominica, Adam is generally acknowledged as the second indigenous person to represent the region in Test cricket, following in the footsteps of Guyana's Ivor Mendonca, who kept wicket for the West Indies in two tests in 1962, hitting 78 in his first innings and stumping a young Farouk Engineer off Lance Gibbs. Ivor's nephew Clive was a successful striker in the English Football League from 1986 to 2002 and was a cult hero at both Grimsby and Charlton Athletic. Ivor sadly succumbed to cancer last year. Sanford's professional cricket career as an effective fast medium bowler can be split into three parts. 21-year-old Sanford appeared in a single match for the Windward Islands in 1997 versus Guyana in Grenada. The second phase of Adam's life saw him relocating to Antigua and continuing to play the game he loved. When not working as a policeman, he played for the Leeward Islands versus Trinidad and Tobago. Just over 2 months later, he made his test match debut. With 41 wickets at an average of 25.1 that season, he had forced his way into the West Indies side versus India. Thirdly, he returned to international cricket, which saw him playing three times for his adopted country, the US, in the qualifiers of the 2014 ICC T20 World Cup alongside Neil McGarrell, both men joining that odd and fairly short list of cricketers to have played for more than one country. Victory over Canada was followed by defeat to Italy and a win over Denmark. Congratulations to Adam Sanford on his award. And a desperate father, Mr. Hunt John, pleads for his son, who is currently ill with a brain tumor. John is requesting help in raising more funds for his son Marcus John from Mahu, who is in dire need of surgery at this time. Currently, he is in Guadeloupe under observation by medical authorities. John's son recently underwent a brain aneurysm. John reports that his son is now able to see, eat, and hear. But just as things were looking up, the doctor who conducted the surgery informed John that his son needs to undergo another surgery, this time to remove a brain tumor. And as a result, he is in dire need of more funds for that operation. John is now on a drive to raise funds for his son, Marcus, whom he loves dearly. Mr. John says he was informed by Guadeloupe's medical authorities that he needs to come up with €2,000 in order to have his surgery done. Mr. John is providing the public his National Cooperative Credit Union account number 2094-0300, hoping for contributions from the public.
So he went to go and make the surgery in Guadeloupe, and the Prime Minister gave us some money, but the money wasn't enough to do all the surgery. So they tell us now the money they give us is finished already, and what people had give us, with all that finished already to take the scan and to check it. They cut his head and they take off the water that was in his brains. They take it out, and now he could see, he could hear, and he could eat. He was jibbling again, and now we're just trying to see if we can raise up some more funds. So they said they want €2,000 for them to continue making the operation to take out the brain tumor in his head. If it's not that, if I got the money, they're going to send my son back to Dominica with the brain tumor in his head. Well, he had an accident with them Chinese 2012, and now it reflecting come back on him. So they decide now when he go to the Chinese to send a paper for the Chinese. The Chinese don't want to pay up for the boy, for him to look about him. So they say we have to go to court to see what can happen. And up till yet, nothing happening.
In more news, the 2015 annual secondary schools football championships, organized by the sports division, will kick off on Friday, October 23rd, 2015. This year, the championships will not start off with the traditional ballarama amongst the champion houses of the participating schools, but instead will commence with matches at two venues. At the Benjamin's Park in Portsmouth, the Portsmouth Secondary School will play host to the Isaiah Thomas Secondary School, when the school's under 15 teams will play each other from 2 p.m., followed by under 20 matchups between the schools at 3:30 p.m. At the Portersville Savannah, the Pierre Charles Secondary School and the Dominica Grammar School will compete in an under 17 clash, whilst the St. Mary's Academy will play the Cassibrew Secondary School in an under-17 match at 3:30 p.m. 9 secondary schools at the Dominica State College and the Dominica State College are registered to take part in this year's championships. There will be competition amongst the schools in the under-20, under-17, under-15, and the 13 and under categories. Benedict Joseph House of the Dominica Grammar School was last year's Ballarama champions. Goodwill Secondary School won the under-20 category, with the Dominica Grammar School winning both the under-15 and under-17 titles, and the Portsmouth Secondary School winning the 13 and under championship. The 2015 Secondary Schools Football Championships are expected to take place throughout the first term of this academic year. And member of the Marigot Village Council, Brian Linton, says the Speaker of Dominica's Parliament does not deserve the salary increase she received recently. Speaker of the House, Mrs. Alex Boyd-Knights, recently received a 111% increase in salary from EC$2,800 to EC$6,000 monthly. Mr. Linton noted that the Speaker of the House does not adhere to the job descriptions in her contract. He went on to say that the Speaker also has a private law practice and does not spend all of the contracted amount of time in the House of Assembly. He draws attention to the very few sittings of the Parliament each year. Linton says in these circumstances, A salary increase of 111% is unfair to Dominica taxpayers.
Wrong timing.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, probably he needs to. He probably shouldn't say wrong timing, and then he would have been reinstated.
No, but your brother said that whether it was timing, he didn't care about the timing. Mm. Your brother said that the kind of workload that the speaker has, in contrast or to compare it with other speakers, and the modality in terms of the number of times that Parliament meet, in terms of the work that the speaker does in preparing the Hansard.
And you have a problem
and
with that?
And as a result of that, he was not going to Parliament.
You have a problem.
Do
you have a problem with the analysis given by the leader of the opposition?
Yes, I had a problem with
it. Okay, well then you see that's your problem, Ambrin, and the problem of the supporters of the Labour Party. They really lack business acumen. There's a principle in business, Brin, that we refer to as the cost-benefit analysis, you know, to see if you're getting the benefit for the amount of money that you're putting into the product, or in this case, the individual. And clearly, Brin, when you watch the job description of the speaker, and you do a basic little evaluation, a grade one, or evaluation 101 on the speaker, you will see that the speaker is failing miserably in terms of delivering service to the people of Dominica.
Many other Dominicans say something is wrong with that increase at this time of belt tightening by ordinary Dominicans.
She's on Boundaries Commission, she's on Privileges Commission, all commissions she's on, they've never met, they've not been meeting for years now. You know, the parliament doesn't even have a Hansard, Brin, even coming from her own mouth. She's not performing. The parliament meets once, whenever. You understand? And so we've seen quite clearly the amount of money. So if you have to put it in terms of days, she is actually at work during a month, you know, doing things to get that healthy $6,000 plus every month. You ask, what's that for? You know, when most of that time, remember, she has a private legal practice. You don't expect her to be just sitting down there waiting for House of Assembly to be called and leave her practice unattended. You understand? Most of that time she has other means. But, you know, they again, operating in the same kind of a criminal mood, you know, is gangster type operation, you know, job for the boys, middle of the country. They have all their companies doing all the public works around the country. You see those green and white trucks with the...
A crowd of...
And in an effort to house the world's rising refugee population, the idea of buying an island has come into play by millionaire Jason Buzi, who hopes to create a new country so that refugees from anywhere around the world will have a place to call home through a crowdfunding campaign named the Refugee Nation Project. Reports say one of the islands suggested by Buzi for this endeavor is the Nature Isle of the Caribbean, Dominica. Real estate mogul Buzi told IBT Times in the UK, it's an island the size of Singapore with only 75,000 people. Singapore has over 5 million people, and by the way, Singapore is the wealthiest country by far in the Southeast Asia and is multiracial and multi-religious. Buzi hopes to include billionaires and governments in his fundraising plans for the new refugee country, which he says would host up to 60 million people. He said billionaires and government officials would be the ones who can make this idea a reality, and is encouraging them to purchase the land and persuade governments to be open to the idea of selling land for the purpose of the project. Buzi said if we could purchase a few islands for Refugee Nation, it would solve an urgent humanitarian crisis.
A crowdfunding campaign has been launched to raise $3 billion to buy an island to house the world's refugee population. This is what has been reported today. Millionaire Jason Buzi hopes to create a new country through the campaign, which he says any refugee from anywhere in the world can call home. Dominica's name is being mentioned. speaking to the IB Times in the United Kingdom. In the Caribbean, one example is the island nation of Dominica, was he told IB Times UK. It's an island the size of Singapore with only 75,000 people. Singapore has over 5 million. And by the way, Singapore is the wealthiest country by far in Southeast Asia.
An agronomist, Atherton Mate, is not surprised that Dominica is being suggested for a refugee homing endeavor. He says real estate mogul Jason Boozy is a known world traveler, so it's a likely possibility that he has been to Dominica. Mr. Martin says Boozy seems to have a criteria for which Dominica applies to be an example of the kind of island for this endeavor, since it is small and underpopulated. However, Martin poses the question, why didn't Boozy choose another island such as St. Lucia or Grenada?
It's interesting. Frankly, it may sound extraordinary, but somehow or other, I really don't find it so extraordinary that Dominica's name gets mentioned. Jason Boozy has traveled the world. He says he's traveled to 70 different countries, including the Caribbean. So it's not unlikely that he's been to Dominica or other islands in the Caribbean, because he seems to have some criteria that he's applied to sort of seeing Dominica as an example of the island that could be purchased. And remember, he's talking about creating a nation, which is purchasing an island for settling all the refugees of the world, and he's would like to see that island maybe use the Singapore model, etc. But in the Caribbean, according to this article from the IB Times in the UK, Mr. Buzzy sees Dominica as an example of the kind of island that would be good for this exercise, because it is small, it has a population of some, he says, the article says 75,000 people, and it is relatively underpopulated. And so Mr. Buzzy seems to have done some investigation. Question is, why didn't he pick St. Lucia? Why didn't he pick Grenada?
Martin believes Buzzy may have done extensive research on Dominica in order to view the country as an available option for housing refugees, due to its failing economy and desperate attempts to attract investors.
He must have done more than just casual internet research. It would sound to me like he may have understood Dominica to be a country really that is kind of really has a free and open market with regards to its passports and nationality and selling, and seems under a lot of pressure. The economy is not doing well. He maybe has understood that we do have a governance system in place that seems to have run out of ideas as by recent pronouncements of the leadership of the country, and is looking for any and all kind of ways to sort of attract money. And so the passport scheme has been growing. We have given away 15 acres of a national park to a so-called investor. And we have, in addition, given that investor 800 passports to sell. So in other words, we are financing foreign investment. So it must mean that we are in.
In more news, a scaled-down version of Market Day with a Difference in Roseau is scheduled for Saturday, October 31st, 2015. Officials say the activities have been scaled down due to the damage caused by Tropical Storm Erica all across Dominica and also in the vicinity of the Roseau Market. Activities are expected to include a wide variety of products on display and also for sale. The program will include cultural performances and local delicacies. Vendors are encouraged to clothe themselves in national wear on that day and to give something special to their customers on that day, while customers are encouraged to show some commitment to consuming local products. Officials indicate that products from several countries around the world, including quality products from Canada, the UK, France, and the United States, will also be on display, possibly at reduced prices for a flea market section. Meanwhile, it is expected that there may be some decline in the supply of produce coming into the market following the passage of Tropical Storm Erica. In view of the fact that access roads from some of the productive areas have been affected, and as a result, some of the producers have not been able to access their farms. Residents and visitors are encouraged to support Market Day with a Difference 2015. And in a related story, hotelier and environmentalist Athi Martes says in reviewing the recent FCCA commissioned report, it is clear to see that Dominica is in a tight situation. He compared Dominica to someone in a desperate situation, stating that oftentimes when individuals are in desperate situations, what may seem as an insane proposal to one may be seen as salvation to another in their desperation. Mr. Martin says he would not be surprised if someone, not necessarily within the political sphere, had a conversation with real estate mogul Jason Buzzi about Dominica's current financial situation, giving him the impression that Dominica would be welcoming to such a proposal. Martin says before the Refugee Nation project becomes a reality, he believes Dominica should send out a message loud and clear that we are not for sale.
If you put that in the context, the FCCA report, which shows that even cruise tourism has been on the decline for Dominica, and we are close to the bottom of the barrel as far as that is concerned, it means that, you know, we're in a tight situation. And when you have people who are not in a good situation, you can go to them with what may at first appear to be a crazy proposal, but to them it appears to be a salvation proposal. Frankly, given the record that has been set over the last 10 years in terms of the kinds of crazy deals we have been hearing, NG Lapseng among them, and where this has come from and where it has got to today, it would not surprise me one bit if there had been a conversation between Mr. Buzzi and somebody, and it doesn't necessarily have to be somebody in the political directorate. It could have been somebody close to, somebody already engaged in maybe, let's say, the passport selling business, who said, yeah, Dominica would be ready to consider that. It may sound crazy, but the NG Lapseng story, when it was broken by Angelo Allen in 2004, did that not sound crazy? But look at it today. It's cold, harsh reality. So do we want to wait for this crazy sounding proposal to work itself out into another reality? Or
in more news, Ministry of Public Works Permanent Secretary Kendall Johnson is reporting that the Douglas Charles Airport suffered damages in excess of $41 million from the passage of Tropical Storm Erica. The airport was subject to severe flooding by the Menville Hall River, which caused every piece of equipment at that facility to be destroyed and which has to be replaced. On September 2nd, Prime Minister Skerrett stated that the Douglas Charles Airport was significantly impacted by the storm and government would require $39.5 million to have it restored. Mr. Johnson said at a press conference on Wednesday that figure has since increased. We have quantified, with the help of local professional engineers, the damage to the facility is in excess of $41 million, he revealed. We have damage to the fencing, the runway, the taxiway, the apron, the landslide, access roads and equipment that were housed in the building. Johnson informed that the rehabilitation works have been divided into two phases. One phase will look at the fencing, runway, taxiway, apron and the landslide access roads, he explained. Phase two needs a bit more detailed intervention because of the dynamics of the Menville Hall River. It is a rather large river and we need to assess the hydrology and the hydraulic capacity of the channel before we design the necessary interventions. And government is going ahead with plans to build a second cruise pier in St. Kitts, but is adamant that it will not seek the assistance of a cruise line to do so. Minister of Tourism Lindsay Grant made the administration's position clear during government's weekly radio show, Working For You. We are not going the route of having a cruise line build a pier for us. We are learning from the mistake of others, he said. And Mexican authorities have begun moving residents and closing ports in parts of the country's Pacific coast ahead of the arrival of Hurricane Patricia. The Category 5 storm is expected to be one of the strongest recorded tropical cyclones. The World Meteorological Organization has said the hurricane is comparable with Typhoon Haiyan, which killed 6,300 people in the Philippines in 2013. A state of emergency has been declared in three states in Patricia's path. The hurricane is expected to make landfall on Friday afternoon or evening with winds up to 200 miles per hour. The U.S. National Hurricane Center said Patricia was potentially catastrophic. And that's the morning news, but first a recap of our headlines. Former West Indies pace bowler Dominican-born Adam Sanford will be honored in New York next week. Desperate father Hunt John pleads for financial assistance for his son, who is ill with a brain tumor. St. Kitts says it doesn't want any help from cruise lines to build its new pier. And Hurricane Patricia, Mexico awaits Category 5 storm. Once again, the news was brought to you through the very kind compliments of Fast Cash and Rudolph Thomas Enterprise. If you've missed any of our news packages, you can log on to our website. It's www.q95da.com to view the stories, or you can click on the podcast icon to listen to the various packages. On behalf of the Q95 news team, I am Richie Farrell wishing you a pleasant morning.